We may indeed be responsible for some people's problems, but we are not responsible for everybody's.
Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today on the subject of faith. This time, faith and other people's problems. Pamela Reeves says in her little book, Faith is committing loved ones' problems to God to solve. Committing loved ones' problems to God to solve. People who hold positions of high respect and responsibility sometimes find it hard to take when their own loved ones won't listen to them. They're used to telling others what to do. They're good at solving problems. Maybe they even get paid for solving other people's problems. But nobody at home listens to a word they say. Lars and I have picked up an expression that we learned from a little drama that we saw. It was a sort of a skit that we saw while we were in England. And it was a cute sort of a modernized version of the story of Jonah. And you see Jonah and his wife in the kitchen. She's stirring a pot. And he casually makes the remark that he's going on a long journey. And finally, she listens to him. And then she screams at him. He doesn't pay attention at all. And she finally says to him, "You never listen to a word I say." And he says, "Oh, you're right about that, love." Well, we've picked up that expression. It fits in very nicely in our marriage from time to time. I do sometimes accuse my husband of not listening to a word I say, and his response is always, "Oh, you're right about that, love." But, of course, it's not really true. But some of you out there know what I'm talking about. You may be one of those that's paid to solve other people's problems, and nobody at home listens to a word you say. Though that's upsetting. Surely, it must be upsetting. But one thing we all need to try to keep straight, we may indeed be responsible for some people's problems, but we are not responsible for everybody's. We may expect certain people to do what we say, but there are a lot of people whose problems we must leave to God. The time comes when parents must leave their children to Him. Of course, the parents of young children are responsible for their children's problems. Parents stand in the place of God. It's sad to hear parents say, "Well, I'm certainly not going to send him to church or take him to church because I want him to make decisions like that for himself whenever he feels comfortable about it." How can a child have a basis for decision-making if his parents have not made many decisions for him? There comes a time when he can then assess and weigh the decisions that his parents have made for him. And when their faith must become his faith, it's not as though parents can impart their faith to a child. They can simply teach it and help the child to understand the basis of their faith. But the time comes when the child has to make that faith his own, of course. But when it's time to leave the children to God, it can be very painful. And the father of the prodigal son, in Jesus' parable, recognized that his son had come of age. The inheritance which was properly his, the son was asking for, and the father wisely did not refuse it to him. It was his legal property. Even though that father knew that the son was probably going to destroy himself by spending that money. And that, as we know, is exactly what happened. So The son's problems became his own responsibility. The father had done all he could do. And it finally took going into the pigsty and eating the pig's food to bring that son to himself, bring him to his senses. And at that point, he said, "I will arise and go to my father." That was a decision that he had to make. Is there someone in your family about to make a marriage that you believe will be disastrous? I've been comforted by the story of St. Augustine going off to Rome. Some of you know that story. His mother, Monica, was a very godly woman who prayed desperately for the salvation of her son, Augustine. He was a very brilliant, very dissolute young man. And that mother watered the ground with her tears, he says in his confessions. He had decided that he could get a better education in Rome than he could get in Carthage, and so he was determined to go to Rome, and his mother was determined to stop him if she possibly could. But he was an adult, and she was only his mother. But she besought the Lord with strong crying and tears to interrupt his plans, to prevent his sailing on that ship for Rome, where she felt sure that he would be morally destroyed. She thought of the temptations of that great city and her son's weaknesses, and she felt that she could not bear the thought of his going. And as Augustine says in his Confessions, God refused the prayers that she prayed daily in order to answer the prayer that she had prayed all his life. All his life she had prayed for his salvation. Day by day she was praying that he would not go to Rome. Only God knew that Augustine would become a Christian when he went to Rome, that there were those there who would lead him to faith. His mother didn't know that. And so as her heart broke in two and she fell on the ground weeping, off went the sailing ship in the direction of Rome. And it was not until years later that she saw the answer to her prayer. In order to answer the deepest prayer of her heart, "Thy will be done in my son's life," God had to say no to the earlier prayers. And sometimes what we think is going to be a disaster in the life of someone we love, when we want to wade in and almost physically prevent them from doing what we don't want them to do, God may be saying to us, "Trust me. I have something in mind that you've never even thought of." In the 18th chapter of Genesis, we have the story of the men going out and looking down towards Sodom, and Abraham going with them to start them on their way. And the Lord thought to himself, and this is always an interesting phrase to me, the Lord thought to himself, "Shall I conceal from Abraham what I intend to do? He will become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will pray to be blessed as he is blessed. I have taken care of him on purpose, that he may charge his sons and family after him to conform to the way of the Lord and to do what is right and just." Now there we have a clear statement that the father is responsible to charge his sons and his family to conform to the way of the Lord and to do what is right and just. It's the father's job to charge the sons. The father cannot physically force them. But let's never forget what our moral responsibility is. Sometimes all we can do is to warn a person. And then if they make the choice, we have at least done what we could do. In Numbers, the 30th chapter, we have the laws about a husband's responsibility. If a woman makes a vow or an oath which her husband confirms, then her husband is responsible for her keeping the vow or the oath. If he maintains silence day after day, he thereby confirms every vow or obligation under which she has put herself. He confirms them because he kept silence at the time when he heard them. If he repudiates them sometime after he has heard them, he shall be responsible for her default. These are the Jewish laws regarding a husband's responsibility, cases in which God has assigned responsibility to fathers and husbands. They must discharge it in faithfulness. I'm sometimes sorely tempted to do what my sister-in-law reminds me we are not supposed to do, straighten everybody out. That is a temptation for me, I have to confess. You can't really believe that of me, can you? Well, I'm sure that you can. You know I would be tempted that way. But I've got so many good ideas. I don't like to waste them. I don't like to see them discarded. I'd hate to see all this wisdom go to waste in my old age. I may not be around much longer, I say to myself. And then I hear that still small voice, "Be still and know that I am God." He or she, whom you would like to straighten out, is my child, my beloved child. Would you just trust me to handle her or him? Do you know anything about prayer? I've given you that job to do, not this one. This job is mine. Faith is committing your loved one's problems to me. Can we learn that lesson today? To take those we love lovingly in our arms and, as it were, lovingly turn them over into the everlasting arms. Let me leave you with Psalm 37, verse 7. Wait quietly for the Lord. Be patient till he comes. Do not strive to outdo the successful, nor envy him who gains his ends.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.